It looks like you've been cooking on the stove. That'll be a bond deduction.
It's a Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Morena, Celine.
Kia ora, Rachel.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. We've got some quite cooked messages from the listeners this week. I mean, they're always a bit depressing because there's some wild scenarios people are living in at the moment, but this week's got some particularly hard out ones, so I think we should just dive into it today. The first one is from someone who says, "Hi Celine, I haven't got my bond back and we moved out at the end of February. We were all on the lease and none of us have gotten any money back. We've chased it up a couple of times and the landlord has said she needs to, quote, sort out some issues she has identified at the final inspection, but she hasn't given us any details on this and has gone silent on us since. What do we do?"
Okay. All right. So basically, again, I am trying to muddle my way through this regulation with you. So especially given that this is probably quite a lot of money, I would definitely call like Tenants Protection Association and get some kind of really specific guidance around timing, especially if it's been a while.
Yeah, February's a long time ago now.
Yeah, that's a long time ago because basically the bond is the tenant's money. So unless it should be returned to you unless there's a specific reason it shouldn't. And you can disagree about that. And because the bond issue is often about time, that's why I think you really need someone kind of to really advise you so you know totally your legal right. Because basically, what's meant to happen is that you agree that everything's fine, the tenancy is over, you sign the bond refund form and then return it to tenancy services. And then it usually takes like 15 days to be processed. So it's all pretty quick. If you don't agree, basically, either of you can lodge the refund form with tenancy services. And then if the other party doesn't object within a certain amount of time, it just goes through. So in light of that, it's up to you really what you do. And that's why I would call kind of an expert to get your help, especially given it's been so long, because usually it would happen quicker. But basically, if you lodge the bond refund form with all the details on it and the amount of money, they have to have 10 days. They have to object within 10 days. Otherwise, the bond comes back to you anyway.
So I presume they get notified that that has gone through the process. So they, you're not like doing it without any sort of...
Yeah. There's totally the procedure. But again, you really want to know what you're doing with that. And then that often, if they object, then it sometimes go to a mediation process with the tribunal. But you want your bond back and you should have it back or at least have some kind of discussion about why you're not getting the full bond back. So I would call someone to get real detailed timing assistance on that. But I would try and get to that one.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that one, Celine. What else have we got there, Zoe?
Our landlord takes an hour to inspect our flat. Is this weird?
Well, they do. I've heard some interesting stories, that's for sure. Unfortunately, it says that the kind of average time they say online is like 30 to 60 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
And I think this is one of those things where they're allowed to inspect because we have quite frequent inspections for, I would say, a flat of people who have always been perfection, if I may say so myself, or near it.
Yeah. Is this your house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we have quite frequent inspections. So I did some looking around and they're legally allowed to come once a month.
Once a month?
Kind of excessive, especially when you don't need any grounds to be doing that. So once a month, but basically all of this is kind of around this idea of quiet enjoyment.
Yep.
So they're allowed to come, they have to follow all the rules around how long they, the bracket of time in which they tell you they're coming, you know, 48 hours notice, etc. So they have to follow all that, but then there's not that much regulation. It's just this idea of quiet enjoyment, which it means they're not allowed to kind of disrupt the quiet and peaceful possession and enjoyment of your house. So as interference or harassment. So if they're coming for a long time, or if the way they're inspecting it like feels like they're taking photos of your personal belongings in a way you're not comfortable with, or bring people with them or anything like that, then you can argue that that is not
infringing on your quiet enjoyment.
So that's a really good thing to know, but again, it's a very kind of gray area. So I would look up the stuff around quiet enjoyment on Aotearoa or something like that to get some more guidance. But unfortunately, I would say an hour is probably common. unfortunately.
Gosh. That is grim.
Doesn't mean that's okay. So maybe if it makes you mad, either think what you can do or do some renters activism. Join us. Yeah.
Just because it's channel legally it. Correct doesn't mean it's morally correct.
Exactly.
Someone has said this one. Okay, this one's quite cooked. This is a situation and a half. Okay, someone says, my landlord lives in Sweden and her elderly mother is our unofficial property manager. She lets herself in to use our bathroom when she's in the area. Feels so uncomfortable about this. I know it's totally illegal, but I have no idea how to handle this. The landlord also asks us to contact her in Sweden, so the landlord, when something breaks, and she then passes it on to her mother or the tradies, which is obviously extremely impractical, especially when we have an urgent issue. What the fuck do I do, Lamau? That is how they've signed that one off.
I'm really sorry.
Truly
so awkward, because basically there are quite a few illegal things in there already.
Laugh because otherwise we would cry.
Absolutely. So I understand how, like, you know that her mother's not allowed to come in and use the toilet without warning and really use it as a bathroom, but obviously that's quite awkward. I would again try and find out all the things that are illegal in that scenario and then make your decisions about how you want to broker it,
right?
Depending on how your relationship with your landlord is. But I would say that if a landlord is leaving New Zealand for more than 21 days, they need to appoint an agent.
Okay.
So they've done that for their mother, but the idea is that you're contacting the person in the country, because that makes sense.
Okay.
So you need to make sure you have the contact details of her mother, so you should be contacting her directly. That's really how it should work, especially if there's urgent repairs. So if she hasn't given you contact details for her mother and you're still contacting her, that's not actually legitimate. So you can, like, basically say that they're breaching their landlord responsibilities. So again, I would be checking your rights specifically online. I would be maybe thinking about how you want to deal with it and whether you think you have enough rapport with your landlord to kind of say, hey, it's been a bit difficult, we need to talk to your mother directly. The bathroom letting herself in thing is a whole other kettle of fish. But again, that's absolutely illegal.
You are totally within your rights to say this is not on.
Absolutely. They need to be coming over for a specific inspection or specific maintenance. So you could get some help to maybe construct an email that explains all the things that you're not comfortable with and the legalities, so they know you really know what you're talking about before you kind of start that. But you shouldn't be putting up with that.
Just a side note around that. If the person that's been appointed to be an agent for a landlord who lives overseas is not actually very good at the job or not, like, capable of doing the job, or just as being, you know, someone that they've put in there to tick a box but not necessarily do a very good job, what sort of, like, legal supports or, you know, things are there for you as a tenant trying to deal with that situation?
Yeah, sadly I don't know if there's that many, as you can imagine. So basically, looking up the stuff around the agent, they don't have to be a professional property manager, they can just be anybody. So this seems like and that was kind of all it said, a little sentence about that. So
that
I don't know if
grim.
I don't know if there's other little details I've missed out in the law, but in general, I would say this is, like, probably a loophole in terms of people being overseas for a long time. I guess COVID also may have trapped people overseas. So if you're dealing with this, I would definitely call and kind of get some guidance, because you shouldn't be dealing with someone who's not even really that invested. They're just there. So should be contacting the agent directly, and then if they're not doing the job properly, maybe the landlord is in breach of what they're supposed to do.
Well, that sounds very stressful for that person. I hope it gets resolved. What have you got for our last one here, Zoe?
We've got one more. I'm on a flatmate agreement, not a tenant, and the head tenant is so crap at asking the landlord to fix things when they break, which is often. This is Auckland, lol. I've been bringing it up with the head tenant, but they aren't fussed. Can I go straight to the property manager? Current problem is broken bathroom window. What are my rights here?
Yeah, this is a tricky one, because the legal relationship is between the tenant who signed the tenancy agreement and the landlord. So I don't actually know, because your relationship is with the head tenant. So you may or may not have a flat sharing agreement, which is, like, something we kind of are encouraged to do, so you kind of know your responsibilities and have a legal basis. But I know that's not that common, especially when you're flatting with friends and things like that. So I would I'm not totally sure if you can contact the property manager directly. They might not mind, but then they might also not feel obligated. So I am not sure. It could be totally fine that you could become the conduit for the flat that tells the property manager what's going on. So I'm not totally sure how that works, I'm afraid. I would call the Tenants Protection Association and just kind of double check. Because if you could be the line of communication to the property manager, that would be easier, as you seem to not mind. But I'm a little bit unsure, given the legal relationships there, whether that matters or not. I can't see it being a problem if you try, and then they're like, we want to talk to the head tenant. So it's still the flat, and I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry. It's one of those real gray areas.
It's a real tricky one, yeah.
But I would definitely... maybe get some guidance or just give it a try. Like, I can't see what can go wrong if you ask for the window to be fixed, because then you can just bring in the head tenant. But it's a bit tricky then if you're like stepping past their
jurisdiction.
Yeah. So maybe that's something I'm afraid that's something you might have to work out with them.
Well, Celine, thank you very much for answering these questions. And to those of you who sent in those messages, we really appreciate the time it takes to send them in. So thank you very much for that, and hope that this can be helpful for you in some way. If also you've been listening and some of this stuff rings true for your living situation, we're going to link all of the various associations and resources that you've been mentioning, Celine, in the podcast, so you can jump on there afterwards. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.